I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
The opinions expressed in the following podcast are for general informational purposes only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual or on any specific security or investment product. It is only intended to provide education and entertainment about the financial industry and the stock market. Enjoy.
On this episode of Pennies Going In Raw, we have Hugh to talk about Roth IRAs again.
You find out life's this game of pennies.
Oh, you guys know we only have a 40% runner. Hello? 40% right is a f***ing killing.
We've been compliant for too long. It's time we go to war.
I don't have a Roth.
Q knows so much about the market that his brain doesn't have enough room for grammar.
Hey, who told me about IDEX? It's going up a shit ton now.
Rob, 4%, baby.
No way.
4%.
You asked the exact same question with two words different.
It's like, f***, man, I just got dick whipped for like 20%, and now that f***er's up like 50.
I bet Warren Buffett never did that.
I'm just making this voice memo to call out unusual whales to a fight.
The pennies we need are everywhere around us.
Pennies, pennies,
pennies. Going in raw.
Featuring Dan, Deity of Dips,
and Hugh Honey.
Produced by Vinny
and Christian.
Let's go, baby.
Welcome back to another episode of Pennies Going In Raw. Today is Sunday, September the 19th, and looks like SPY is below that 50 EMA, huh? I mean, we closed around 441.4. I mean, there was quite some range to it this week. I mean, you saw it back at 450 and then towards the end of the week. Is that just because there's, you always hear about, keeping a lot of cash on hand until so-and-so speaks, whether it be Biden or whoever.
No, I mean, for me, it's one of those things where everybody's always been buying the 50-day moving average. So now that it closed below the 50-day moving average for the first time since June, everybody's like freaking out about it. To me, it's one of those things where, honestly, it's probably a good thing. You know, we just had this retrace down to the 50-day. It closed underneath. So now everybody's calling for, this big, huge flush. So what probably ends up happening, we probably end up pinballing back to like all-time highs within 2 weeks. You know, like by the end of September, like the 28th, 29th, we're probably going to be at all-time highs. Like this is probably what this tells me. Everybody's waiting for the 50-day to buy. It closed underneath the 50-day. Now everybody freaks out, and then they pinball back to all-time highs. Like, I really think that's what's going to happen. They expect the unexpected. Everyone's expecting the 50-day closes underneath. Everybody freaks out. Boom, we pinball back to all-time highs. I think it comes down to we needed this. Like, we really did. We just couldn't keep making all-time highs week after week. The RSI, even on the weekly, is still at 61, all the way up here, which is just ridiculous. On the daily, it's at 41. You know, like, we probably should even go lower. We probably should retrace to, like, 435, 430. For me, though, I still think small caps are going to continue to get hot. We saw it this week. The intraday moves were really nice, both long, both short, giving us great opportunities. So for me, I mean, I have a good amount of cash. I don't have a good amount of cash. I think I'm like 73% on the market right now on the street. And I think that even if SPY did continue to pull back, that it wouldn't really affect pennies that much. Maybe a little bit intraday or on the swings, but pretty much I can't see SPY pulling back as being a terrible thing overall for the penny market. This might just bring in volume into small caps.
I've been noticing a lot of these plays, they started to actually look decent. And I, like you were saying, the 430, 435, if SPY hit that, I think it could cause a lot of these small caps that you want to hold for a while to get to like a really good spot. Any lower on Wish, I mean, it just seems like a no-brainer. The like lots, like if that one went to 350, I always buy it just about any time it goes under 4 or 390 or so. I mean, that just seems so cheap, even with, you know, the rental car market, whatever. I mean, it just seems like eventually they're just so, the risk reward is just so good on a lot of these. And even like UWMC around the sevens right now, doesn't have like a 40-cent dividend. I mean, if there is a slight pullback, even a little bit more on SPY, I think we could be getting like great, great, great buying opportunities on some of these value plays.
That's what I mean. If people stop thinking that SPY is going to make a new all-time high next week, which it probably will, but if people stop buying the dip, what they're going to do is that they're going to flee to other investments. If there's tons of volume coming into these small caps, I mean, volume precedes price action. That's what's going to make them move. And we've seen incredible intraday moves inside the past week. So this is only a good thing, in my opinion. Yeah, is your 401k might take a little hit? Sure. But again, we're like 3% off highs. Like, we are still, like, when you look at the chart, when you look at the weekly chart, I mean, it's 100 weeks of just straight shot up. So I personally, like, fuck it, bring it down to 400, in my opinion. Like, I honestly, bring it down a little bit, and let's reset. If we reset this, like, everybody's all worried about, you know, this ascending wedge breaking down, this ascending wedge, fine, make a new wedge, you know, bring this bitch down to 400. You know, let it go, and then let's make a new ascending wedge and send it to 1,000. Fuck it.
Yeah, I mean, dude, if it hit 400, I can't imagine some of the bargains we'd get.
Amazon would be sub 3,000. Yeah,
I mean, with the overreaction of all the newer traders, I mean, they saw 400. We may be getting Wish at 3.
that's what I mean, and then those intraday moves, all the, you know, because funds, what the funds will do is that when the funds don't know where SPY is going, a lot, especially like let's take prop firms, if they kind of swing things for ARB, then they're looking for other places to make money while they don't know. So what do? They flee to small caps. So those intraday moves that we've seen can be like a thing. So everything else will just get hit hard. Intraday, we trade the things long, and then we scoop up the cheapies on the swings. Like that is my favorite market, a high liquidity market with unrest inside the market, like 400 or 500 point drops inside the market. Those are beautiful because the liquidity is insane.
No, I mean, it'll be interesting to see how we kind of go further. I mean, even just this week, I mean, I felt like there was, like, I even made a play or made a call, not to brag. I mean, it went up like 35% a day and a half. Ooh. I didn't have to, like, pump it or nothing. I tweeted it after hours, and it was options too. So, I mean, it's just like what I do. So, you know, congrats to the Dan fam.
You don't make a lot of calls, but when
with
you
me.
Do.
Yeah, no, I'm more of a quality over quantity kind of guy.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's back to retirement for me. And, you know, 6 months from now, March 2022, fucking have my notifications on because it's coming. I'm doing the DD right now. And by doing the DD,
awesome.
I mean Zach's coming over. He's coming to hang out. But, I mean, there is a, like, a new, you know, you're into Roths. There's a new retirement shit coming out. Do you kind of want to touch on that?
Yeah. So the first thing that I think is important is let's go over what a Roth is, because I think the first time that we did, what a Roth is, there wasn't that many homies listening, or I mean, I don't know how many people listened.
Like episode 10 or something. That was forever
ago.
50,
60.
We're at like 60, but that was before we even started doing 2 weeks. So that was like 90 episodes ago. That was well over a year.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That's insane that we even let this go this long. But so for anyone that doesn't know, I'm a huge Roth IRA fan. There's a few reasons. One, when you go and you start a job, okay, they're going to give you a packet. That packet's going to have in their healthcare, you know, maybe like a $25,000 life insurance policy. And it's going to talk about a traditional 401k most of the time. The reason that the company pushes that is because it's a tax write-off for them at the end of the year. Now, so most people have or have heard of traditional 401ks. What most people don't understand is that there's actually, so the way that a traditional IRA works is that you contribute money and then at the end of, you know, retirement, you start, you know, you have this big nest egg and then you pay taxes on that money. So let's take someone, you know, Dan works 30 years for $100,000 inside his 401k. Okay. Now that money grows tax free. But then when Dan goes to buy his Porsche, you know, he just retired he wants to take all his money out, but he owns a few rental income properties. So his tax bracket is still 30%. When he goes to take out the 100 grand, it's not actually 100 grand. Well, Uncle Sam takes their cut. So if his tax bracket's 30%, then that means that Dano only has $70,000 instead of 100. So this is a pretty big thing that not a lot of people realize is that, you know, whatever you see inside your 401k, yes, it's yours right now, but you haven't paid taxes on it. Those are the two big reasons that I really am not a huge fan of 401k is one, because everybody already gets it. So you're already pushed into a 401k. And then the second thing is that your money grows tax-free, but then you have to pay taxes on it. With a Roth, again, most people haven't heard of a Roth, which is shocking to me. I mean, even yesterday I posted a picture on Instagram and like three or four people, and listen, I love it. It absolutely warms my heart when I have messages that are like, hey man, like you're the reason I have a Roth IRA. You know, like my son has a Roth IRA. Like it completely warms my heart. But even on my Instagram, someone had said like, yeah, you're the only reason I have a Roth IRA. Like that is, it blows my mind that the Roth IRA is not pushed more. The way that a Roth IRA works is that you put tax after tax money into this retirement account. It then grows tax free. So again, we use the same example. If Dan works his entire life for a Roth IRA and he built it up 100 grand and he wants to go buy a Porsche, okay, even if he's at the highest tax bracket, when he goes to buy that Porsche and he goes to withdraw that money, if he has $100,000 inside that account, he has $100,000. So let's take Peter Thiel, for example, okay? His Roth IRA is worth like $5 or $6 billion, okay? If that money wasn't inside a Roth and it was inside a traditional 401k, he would owe Uncle Sam between like $1.5 to like $2 billion. Like that's if he went to go withdraw it. That's ridiculous. Literally just having this money inside a different account, like that's the only difference. He saves billions of dollars. Now, I do still like the traditional 401k. I think it's important to have. It's just that you're already pretty much pushed into it when you join a company. You know, the company, what the company does is that a lot of companies match the amount of money that you put in. So it's a beautiful thing. I just don't like that most people only have a 401k. I think it's important to have a 401k. I think it's important to also have a Roth. Again, not a financial advisor. Hit up Dougie B. Bonaparte. But for me, what I found is that the Roth is great because it's one of those things where you can put in $100, $200 and just contribute to it and put inside a target date fund and it grows to these exponential numbers without even thinking about it.
I know you just mentioned 401ks too. Yeah. Here's a little like brain fire for you.
Yeah.
You're at a job, you're making $125,000 a year. Would you rather have a Roth or a 401k? The Roth, you're only limited to $6,000 a year, but the 401k, you could build up your retirement to a bigger amount per year.
It would okay. So me personally, it would depend on if the company was matching, because I mean you'd be dumb not to take the matching. I mean that's free money, but for me, it's like, dude, I can put $6,000 inside my Roth and build that up. If you make 100-200% on that, and you can. Because the thing is that in the beginning, time is your best friend with everything, but especially with some of these accounts where like Dan said, you have these contribution limits. The reason you have a contribution limit is because it's such a good deal. The government's not like, oh, this is such, you know, the government's not going to say, oh, you know what? Like, you're getting screwed on this. You can only do this amount of money. No, it's because the government knows that you're going to grow tax-free. So if I have $1 million inside my Roth IRA and my tax bracket is 30%, I'm basically fucking the government out of 300 grand.
Yeah, things the government won't let you do to the most of your ability. Donate to your Roth. Get more than 60 Adderall a month.
Are you serious?
Well, I mean, there's, you know, you can't be like, oh my God, I'm getting 800 Addies a month. I mean, they'd know something was up. I had another one. There was a good punchline to that joke I had, and I fucking forgot it. Damn it.
Sorry. I interrupted you. So that's my thing, is that that's the way that, like, you have to look at this. It's like the government puts a cap on it, and it's not a crazy cap. Like, $6,000 is a lot of money, but it's not like they're like, oh, if you can afford it, put 60 grand in there. Like, it's really not that big of a cap. It's 10% of the average American salary. That's not a lot. I just want you to think about that. 10% of the average American salary is the most you're allowed to put inside a retirement account.
I think the average American in your books make it a good bit more than the average American. I think it's like 35,000 or some shit.
Is it really?
Yeah, I'm thinking 60, man. 60, dude, fucking 60 in Alabama, where I'm from. 60,000 gets you some good shit, man.
But dude, I guess it is different on the East Coast, but I mean, around here, living in New York, it's ridiculous. I watched a video the other day that said that, like, your $100,000 in New York is equivalent to like 30 grand.
All right, average says, American income 2019, 31.1.
Holy shiz. Okay.
And right. No wonder no one's got a Roth. They don't got the fucking money to put any in there.
Okay. But even still, okay, this is my point. Even if you're making the average American income, they only allow you to put 20% in, right? This is to me, it's one of those things where I was always inside the mindset that I'm working so that I can enjoy my life after. Okay, I feel like that's usually how most people think about it. So for me, I was always like saving, or really saving and investing as much as possible. We've gotten so much in this mindset that we live to work. There's so many people that just live paycheck to paycheck. So anyway, I'm getting off topic. My point is that I think it's so important that you have a Roth plus a 401k. Now for me, let's talk about people who—
Can you have a 401k without a job?
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
I mean, you'd have to have a job at some point.
Okay. I didn't fucking know.
No. I mean, no, listen, you can open up any account that you want, really. I mean, you can. It's simple. They're going to take your money either way.
There's just no point in having a 401k without a job. Might as well just put the bitch really in a broker.
Okay. Yeah, because the real thing is that the real big thing is that your contributions are tax deductible and the match, like that's the point of the 401k. That's the beauty of it. So if there's no match, then you're losing half the spice of it. Now that being said, I do think, let's talk about, because not only is there the contribution limit for people contributing to the Roth, but there's also a salary limit. So what I mean by that is the government actually says that if you make over a certain amount of money, you can't contribute to your Roth IRA. Like, the constraints on this about who can contribute is so tight already that I just want you to understand. And one of the things that everybody always tells me is like, Hugh, you know, I only make 50 grand. Like, I don't have $5,000 to put inside my Roth. That is when you need to be maxing out your every account. When you are not making a lot of money, that's when you can build up really nice bases inside these accounts. Because once you start making money and you're confined to only putting a certain amount of money in, or you have to do like the backdoor Roth conversion, that is when that growth really stops. And once you get over a certain amount of money, making 10% on $6,000 is not a lot of money. Making 10% on $60,000, that moves the needle for a lot of people. Now you make another 10% and it's already more than what the original account was. So if you're a younger person or even an older person and you expect your income to rise and your salary to rise over the next few years, you need to be maxing out. There's someone out there who I told them, like, listen, pick up a second job just to contribute to your Roth. And they did it. I mean, they did it, which is mind blowing.
That person hates their life right now. And you.
No, they did DoorDash. And he goes,
oh, okay. Okay. When I hear picking up another job, I'm like, that's good. But DoorDash, okay, I get it. There's a lot more passive, not passive. Okay.
Yeah, no, exactly. He basically would do like an hour a week.
And yeah, I thought you meant like that, he picked up a fucking like a night like job at CVS.
Hey, that would be, listen, if someone
dude,
did
that's
that.
That's a grinder right there, man.
That's my dog. That should be the mindset though. Like if I could encrypt the mindset, that would be the mindset. Because that's the thing is that once he did the numbers of like, hey, if I put $5,000 in instead of $1,000, down the road, it's like the difference of a few hundred thousand dollars. Like he was like 25. It's literally it's the difference between a few hundred thousand dollars. I know it's like talking 30, 40 years down the road. Fuck, I don't care. You're getting $100,000 for doing an hour extra of work a week. Like, that's mind blowing to me. But anyway, my point is that if you can max out, especially if you're younger, you come out of school, you come out of college, you know, I know a lot of people have student loans, but listen, your student paying off your student loan debt is not I guarantee you.
Just wait for fucking Bernie Sanders to get elected and he'll take care of it.
Don't even start. I fucking can't. This is the time, especially if you just got out of college, this is the time you need to max them out. Because once you're making too much money, then you have to do what's called a backdoor conversion. So what that means is that, for instance, Dano, okay, because Dan has a Roth. Dan loves his Roth.
Love it.
Dan had to open a traditional 401k to contribute to his, because he makes too much money, he had to contribute to his traditional 401k.
I'm too rich for a Roth.
And then roll it over to his Roth IRA. Okay. And he has to do that every year. So he's still getting taxed on that money. You know, obviously once it's inside the Roth, it's sheltered, but he still is getting taxed. So that brings us into what came out on Tuesday. I'll read the headline from CNBC. House Democrats propose new retirement plan rules for the rich, including contribution limits and a repeal of Roth conversions. I feel like this is kind of targeted at us. Okay, yeah, so this came out on Monday or Tuesday, and Monday night it came out. And basically, you know, I read the article. What they want to do is that I'll just read it straight from the article. Wealthy individuals with retirement accounts exceeding 10 million would be prohibited from contributing extra savings and would have a new required minimum distribution each year. So that means that if Dano had 12 million inside his retirement, they would they would force him to take that money out. And he wouldn't be able to contribute. I hate this. I hate this so much because what you're doing, okay, after 5 million, it's considered, generational wealth, okay? All this, I understand the point of it. Okay, you're trying to breach the wage gap. You're trying to get money flowing into the economy. But I just think that there's already so many constraints on this. And then what happens if I make a few bad investment decisions? Okay. If I have like 12 million, I take out 2 million, I go buy a boat. Okay. And then I make a few bad investment decisions and all of a sudden that 10 million goes down to like 3 million. I mean, I'm going to be wishing that I had that 2 million back. I think, and the other thing is that most of the money that let's take like most billionaires have most of their net worth, let's call it, in unrealized gains. Okay. Like Jeff Bezos doesn't just have.
Yeah, it's all stock. Yeah.
It's all stock. So what happens if like a fraud report comes out? I mean, I just think that this is putting too big of a constraint on too many people. I just think that this is trouble. So it says House Democrats proposed several changes to retirement accounts as part of the push to make the tax code more equitable and raise money for their $3.5 trillion budget plan. Now, part of this is that you're trying to make it more equitable, but me, someone who let's just say I'm a man with no kids, which I am, and I'm not married, and let's just say that I make $400,000 a year, I'm taxed and I'm put underneath the same codes as someone who makes $170 million a year. Fuck, someone who makes $170 billion a year, which to me is mind-blowing. All you're doing is creating a bigger gap in between someone who's wealthy but doesn't make crazy money and someone who makes crazy money. That would be like, for instance, the difference between someone making $400,000 and someone making like $150 million would be the difference between someone making like $60,000, $70,000 and someone that makes $1,000 a year. That's the gap. That's the gap. If anything, I think you're creating a bigger gap. This makes me so, like, I'm sweating. Can you see me? I'm literally sweating through my sweatshirt.
This makes me
so bothered. And then the second one is, among them, the reforms would end backdoor and mega backdoor raw strategies for the wealthy. Why?
Like, no one else understood what this meant. And you're like, what the fuck? No more backdoor 401k to Roth conversions for people with over $6 million. What the fuck?
I'm just saying that, like, listen, when you get up to these bigger numbers, it's very quickly you can lose a few million dollars, which sounds insane, but you really can't. For instance, okay, Peter Thiel, okay, I talk about him a lot. He has $5 billion or $6 billion size Roth. Most of that is because he did like a self-direction. He bought PayPal when it was like an OTC, and he bought like $1,000 worth. but my point is that if that investment just went
That's
wrong,
me with this new hydrogen water stock I got to tell you about after we're done recording.
My point is that, listen, if PayPal had gone the wrong way, he would have just lost that money. But guess what? He made a great investment, and now he's about to get fucked for. I don't curse anymore. So he's about to get
He's about to get dicked down, yo.
My point is just that, like, hey, listen, he made a great investment. Why is he now going to be put underneath these huge constraints? And then the whole backdoor thing, I want tax-free money. Like, all you're going to do is that if I'm really that committed to the cause, which I am, I will go down for the cause, okay? All I'm going to do is try and do more sketchy things to find a gray area, to find a loophole. Like, all I'm going to do is I'm just going to keep opening up corporations and putting, like, SEP IRAs. Like, I know that you're trying to raise a lot of money by doing this, but all you're going to do is create more loopholes, create more gray area. And is it really worth it at that point? Like, our budget plan is $3.5 trillion. And this is going to save us what? Maybe $2 billion in the long run? So what? Like it's not going to do that much. But the constraints that you're putting on it are massive. And I love Ross. Like, just the morale piece to it. Like, you'll make me very upset, government. Like, I'll be upset. And then the last piece to this is that the same thing that we were just talking about with Peter Thiel, buying PayPal, he wouldn't be able to, underneath this new plan, he would not be able to do that if he was an accredited investor. So right now, part of what you can do is that you can buy shares of a private company inside your IRA. they would not allow that to happen for accredited investors. I think accredited investors are anyone with over a million net worth and they make like over $200,000 a year or something like that. It's like, don't quote me on that, but that's like basically, that's like pretty much like the gist of it. So Peter Thiel, like basically $5 billion would just be like, whoop, gone. I mean, not gone, but it just wouldn't be inside his Roth IRA. Like, I can't, you stop hating the man because he was smart. He made a great investment, turned like a few thousand dollars into billions, and now we want to kill him for it. So it bothers me.
How does this affect your Roth strategy at all, or is this more of like less strategy and more of how am I going to get around this?
Well, so the good part of this is that if this were to pass, it wouldn't even happen until 2030 or like 2032, I think I read. So there's time, which in that case, if this does get passed, I mean, I'm not even joking. Every single listener is getting a letter from me telling them that for the next 10 years, they will max contribute. If you listen to this podcast and this bill passes, I swear to God, you're max contributing. It's like a requirement. It's like a it's like to get into New York restaurants right now, you got to show your vaccine card. To listen to the podcast, you have to show your max contribution. That's like, if this passes, that's what we're going to do for the next 10 years. We are going to squeeze as much as we can out of this, because if I'm not allowed to do the back door, then now I have this nest egg that I can't contribute to, and then I just got to build it up. So, but again, if I lose all that money inside the stock market, guess what? It's just, fuck you, Mitch, Hugh, whatever. That's basically what it says. You know, like, you can't contribute, so fuck you. Like, you just lost your money. Congratulations. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, you made it a good, like, 4 minutes without cussing after you announced that you weren't cussing anymore. I understand. You're heated.
I'm literally sweating. Like, I'm sweating through my sweatshirt right now. I really think that there's no way that most of this gets passed, because again, if it doesn't even go into, like, I think part of this is that it's like, oh, like, we're making a real effort to tax the rich, you know, but then another administration will come in and just say, be gone with that. You know, like, so part of this might be like a whole little stunt, because if you're going to put something and it's not going to be, so some of the changes would start in 2022, but like the backdoor Roth, I think it was like 2030. So I think it'd be a very small chance that another administration would come in and not repeal this. I would be shocked. So yeah, I mean, that's part of the new retirement plan rules. And then anyone over like 20 million, like we talked about the 10 million, you'd be forced to withdraw. Like over 20 million, they'd like, those with totals exceeding 20 million must pull from Roth IRAs and 401k plans first. These new required minimum distributions for mega IRAs would only be required for savers whose taxable income exceeds the threshold identified above the contribution limit. So if you had over $20 million, like, you're, I don't know, I guess you're just going to buy like a new plane every year. Instead of building generational wealth.
Yeah. Well, moving on to more like regular Ross shit.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
How do you think, like, for the new guys that are, they just listen, they did start a Roth, you know, whether or not they put in 6,000 or just 500 or 100, how exactly should they start? And then also, because I mean, there's that kind of the difference of, I know a lot of people may have had, you know, been investing or trading for a while, and now they're going back under PDT for a Roth. Is this just where they should just put those long-term swings? You're like, hey, I like Wish. I'm a Wish guy. I like Lod. Just leave them there and don't look at it. Because, I mean, I have problems holding stocks for a long time just because I'm a day trader. I'm a scaler out at heart. And I think, you know, I think that's just where to put them.
Your retirement accounts overall, if you do not have a systematic, if you do not have a systematic strategy, just throw it inside a target date, throw it in Vanguard, something like that. The biggest piece of this retirement puzzle are two things. One, time and not losing money. So when time is on your side, and you don't have to, like, you really don't have to do 100, 200% on your retirement accounts. As long as you don't lose money, you can make 5% a year max contribute, and it'll be worth like a million, 1.5, like 6%. That's nothing. So the biggest component to this is that if you do not have a systematic approach that you feel comfortable with and have a good win rate with, just leave it alone and put it inside a target date. Like, that's in my experience, it's never gone well with someone who saw a little bit of success inside the stock market and immediately tried to transition that into a retirement account. Okay. Like, the mindset's different because you know that this is your retirement account. Also, if you just have a bad month, again, you have a max contribution limit. You can't just deposit money when you lose money. So, and the other part of this is that if you do have a systematic approach and you want to start trading inside your Roth, because you can, and it's a beautiful thing. Listen, in my experience, cut things super quick. If they're not working, cut them. Do not get bigger than a 5 or 10% position ever, and take your gains fast. Like, that's the biggest piece that I want to stress, is that time is on your side. You don't need to make a crazy return.
So someone basically been trading $200,000 and then they start up a Roth and they go all in $6,000. You're still saying they should only do 10% of their account and or 10% of their Roth in that?
Yeah. I mean, I really think that at the end of the day, listen, and you're going to know yourself. I just don't want someone to be like, oh, it's only $6,000. Because if you do if you truly sit down and do the numbers, that, let's just say that you lose $3,000 of the $6,000. In a few, let's just say 20 years, that same amount, instead of going for a home run, compounded at like 7%, will be $100,000. Like the numbers really do get stupid after you get over that like six-figure threshold. Like, you don't need to make much after that. So my point, I mean, hey, it's great. It's great. And I totally understand that there's risk with everything. But the unnecessary risk inside a Roth is not necessary. Just stay away from it. Don't do it. Because like I said, is that compounding that is way more important. Even if it's a small amount, compounding that is way more important than trying to hit those home runs.
Yeah, you're not taking it out till you're like 65 or you buy your first house anyways. So.
Yeah, look at those little withdrawal exceptions. Yeah. That's my dog. Yeah, yeah, baby.
Yeah. I learned about withdrawal exceptions whenever we were speaking at a college. So...
Yeah, so I really think that, listen, the Roth is super important, and I'm a huge fan of growing it. My biggest thing is just, listen, only take things where you see like a really good risk reward. Like, I'm talking 4-1, 5-1, you know, again, even still, if it's not working for you, even if you know that it's going to work, just take your loss and move on. Take your 1% loss instead of taking a 5, 6, 7, 10% loss. You know, take gains quick. And again, 4, 5, 5-1 risk to reward. I mean, reward to risk.
And I think one of the best parts about the Roth, aside from, you know, all the shit you just talked about, is the kind of mentality thing with it. Because just knowing, you know, hey, I mean, because people get mad one red day. Hell, most people probably aren't even opening their Roth because they know, you know, what's in it and why it's in there and the purpose of it. Do you do any scaling out, or do you have any like exceptions to your trading strategy that's just like, even though this is up 100%, or maybe every time something goes up 100%, you sell half. Now everything's just free riding and you just leave it there forever in hopes that it becomes the next Amazon.
In the Roth or inside my actual trading?
In your Roth.
Oh, you know, it's funny that you mentioned this, because last night I was actually at this bar real close to me, and this guy was staring at me, and my roommate was like, yo, I think this guy like wants to kick your ass. And then he ended up being a fan of the podcast. So shout out to Joe and John, the boys. But he actually asked me that same exact question last night, but for my actual trading account. And the thing that I usually like to do is, especially in the Roth, is that I strictly only buy on support. Strictly only buy on support. And when we get close to resistance, I'll use a range and I'll cut half immediately at resistance, no matter what. So my big trading account, I use the, you know, I'd rather get one stop off. I'd rather get off the bus one stop too late than five stops too early. With the Roth, I get off that bitch like two stops after. You know, listen, I make sure that I get on the bus at the depot, okay, and then I get off her, you know, like two, three stops later, you know, just to ensure that that I'm not, like, just to give that really good risk to reward.
So you're saying you wait for it to go up and go down a couple notches, as opposed to in your real trading account, you only, the first sign of the trend going, like, breaking, you're out. But on the Roth, you're giving it a little bit extra time. So you're losing a little bit of your gains. A little more of your gains.
Well, so now I think about it, like, I should just trade in my big account like I trade in my Roth, because, like, I literally, with the Roth, I only buy on support, so that if it breaks down, I just take my 1% loss, and, like, I'll wait for it. And if it never comes down to support, then I just miss it. Like, that's the thing, is that with the Roth, like, I can post my graph. I rarely ever lose inside my Roth unless it's intraday, like, unrealized, because I'm only buying at this spot, and then I'm selling 5% higher, 10% higher, something like that. I really only, you know, I'll sell half at 10% higher if that's where the resistance point is. So I only buy on support. I sell before it gets to resistance, or, you know, I'll sell most of it before it gets to resistance. And then if it starts to break down, I'll sell the rest. And that's the way that, like, that's the way that has worked for me, and inside my experience, that's where I've seen the most success. Buying only here on support, selling some before resistance, and then I'll sell the rest if it starts to flush.
Well, now that you're kind of comparing your two strategies, which one, I guess, your percentage comparison, like, which one does better, your real trading account or your Roth? And if it is your real trading account, do you think it's because you don't pay as much attention to your Roth?
Yes. So it's the higher percentage gains is definitely the trading account. And that's because all it really takes is letting a few runners run, and it makes up for any loser that I potentially took. Now, that being said, next year it could be, you know, I mean, because it just comes down to win rate at that point, it only comes down to win rate. So the win rate in the Roth is super high, but the win rate on runners, letting runners go, is way higher inside the regular account. So the regular account does much better from a percentage standpoint. And to your point about not paying attention as much, 100%. If I'm putting something inside my Roth, I usually know it like the back of my hand. The training account, you know, sometimes it's like off the womb, you know, something comes up on a scanner, I like it, I'm buying, you know, and I sometimes don't even remember the ticker like 5 minutes later. So the trading account definitely has a better percentage gain. Although some years, it could definitely be switched, because again, the Roth has a way higher win rate, a way higher win percentage.
Okay, well, now to close this out in the worst podcast transition of all time, someone asked us, bro, you need a segment on PGIR on how to keep good posture while trading. I cannot figure that shit out. Like, sitting upright? I mean, clearly I'm the wrong person to ask, dude. Like,
I mean, I have a standing desk.
Yeah, maybe try a standing desk, but I don't know. Standing at your desk all day sounds obnoxious.
I don't, if I'm monitoring, I'm sitting here, you know, just chilling. But yeah, no, if I'm trading, I'm standing.
Yeah, someone literally commented on a video of me and said that I should probably get rehabilitating back therapy or some shit like that. So I'm definitely the last person to ask.
You know what's really cool about our fans is that, I mean, they care a lot.
Yeah, they care. They care a lot. They really think I should have leg day. I mean, they're really concerned about my calf muscles. And that's awesome.
You know, as you get older, they become more fragile, you know? I mean, even with the heart condition, I mean, I've had a few surgeons reach out. You know, when my eye would twitch, You know, like I got people that reach out thinking that like I'm gonna start posting
just like pictures of me in a bathing suit like that, just spinning around, and you know, if I have any lumps or anything, that you know, one of the Twitter doctors is, I won't need to get like a yearly checkup. I'll just post a nude on Twitter.
That is so cool. You know what? It's so cool because like Call Her Daddy, you know their fan base. It's a bunch of
they're like, oh my girls. God, hey, let me tell you about this strategy for sucking dick. And but we, you know, our we fans give doctors, us some real shit. Yeah.
Mechanics, like really inside their field. Like we have weightlifters.
Yeah. If I ever have car issues, I pop the hood open. I take a picture and I say, come on, Twitter, get to work.
Yeah. The weightlifter picks it up so you can see underneath, and the mechanic does his job. I mean,
yeah, the guys that call me chicken legs, they lift the car up with their big strong leg muscles, and Car Twitter takes, like, you know, they turbocharge my car because
Then our chiropractors tell the weightlifter, you know, to put it more in their legs. You
yeah,
know?
So they all it's help really... each other. It's like a really big family. It's super cool to see how much everyone you know, coming together as a community and helping each other.
And then we got Christian.
I mean, you got a fucking, like, everyone's an English teacher in your responses.
Oh, my God. Oh, my, dude, everybody. I don't get it. I really don't get it. Like, I really just feel like the English language is pretty difficult and that most people struggle with it. But for some reason, y'all love to tell me how, like, yes, guys, I know that I don't know how to use there correctly. Okay. I know that I use the wrong two.
That's
every
why
time.
I got him on a vocal podcast where you don't know if he's misspelling words that are coming out of his mouth. He just fucks up.
You got
everything
no
else.
Clue, baby. No, like I get that I'm not good at it. Like, am I going to do anything? No, because I'm making a podcast. Okay. I'm selfishly not improving my vocabulary.
Writing is so
1960s,
dude.
Yeah. Like, you're welcome, guys. Okay. Instead of improving my grammar, we're doing a podcast.
Yeah. This,
yeah, think
this,
about that
this
next
hour,
time.
These 2 hours a week we do this, he would have been reading books on grammar and spelling.
Yeah. Phonics. Yeah.
Hooked on Phonics. Yeah. The What Makes a Bill, the Constitution guy, you know, all those videos. Mavis Beacon.
You know, looking at my Roth, admiring it. Yeah.
On a Sunday.
But you're welcome, guys. You're welcome. So next time that you want to tell me that I'm using the wrong two in there and there and there, you know, think about that.
Right? Yeah, I read a story this morning about a dude who won the French Scrabble World Championship without knowing a lick of French. He just learned every word in the French Scrabble and didn't know what any of the words meant and just fucking like racked up points.
See, that's like when you tell me if I know the company. If I know what the company does, it's
I'm too deep into it. Yeah.
Yeah, like those things just amaze me. I mean, those are just genius level people.
Hey, dude, that's God's plan.
Yeah, it's just I mean, that guy's just way too smart. He would look at me and just be like, I don't even know. I would be so amazed. That's,
all right,
hey,
guys,
good for him though.
Yeah, yeah. Shout out to Josh Richard, whatever the fuck his name was. All right, guys. iHeartRadio, is that cool? Is that a good amount of time? Or let me up from this desk, iHeartRadio. I'm tired of podcasting. Okay.
Dude, we got like 2 years together, bro. Oh, how was your birthday?
That was good. Guess what I did? I got drunk. Surprise. and that's it. There was a flood here, so it wasn't much I could do. But now I've got Zach coming over. We're going to have a business play date. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Oh, that's I see toys in the bag.
We'll FaceTime. Oh, that, yeah, my birthday bag. Yeah, it shows how much I my healthy relationship with cleaning is the Roomba's just sitting in the middle of the floor. All right, guys.
Hey, have fun, bro.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll see you Wednesday.
Contribute
hugs
to your
and
Ross.
Kisses. Oh, I heard those are good. The Celsius. You like them?
They're pretty good.
Yeah.
I don't know.
People,
what's
there's
in
an
them.
Alcohol kind too. There's one with alcohol.
Really?
I believe
they're pretty
so.
Good, but like. I don't know. I don't even, is there caffeine in these?
You have the bottle. Just read it. I'll tell you what doesn't have caffeine is Next Level Hydrogen Water. The newest fucking...
Because there's fucking nothing in there. You just get like a little...
No, there's alkaline metals. There's like gold and silver and shit.
Look, here, ready? Look, I'll repackage this and we'll sell it for $30.
Probably tastes
better. And call it... called
next level. The top
yeah, level. Yeah, next level.
All right. Peace, boys.
Hey, guys, if you're tired of trimming your stocks too early, well, let me tell you something. Never worry about trimming anything early ever again with Manscaped. Let me tell you about their Performance Package 4.0. It comes with free boxers, a toiletry bag, and free shipping with a little discount when you use code PGIR. I mean, it comes with the razor you need, the sprays you need. I mean, dude, I mean, obviously, clearly I can't show you guys what's going on down there, but if I could, man, you guys would be amazed. Wireless charging, it's waterproof. Take it in the shower for all I care. I mean, it's going to get you right. It's got the light. Man, the Lawnmower 4.0 is the best trimmer I have ever used. And that's not all it comes with. It comes with hella other shit. The boxers. Hey, look, I get it. Not all of us are boxer guys. Give it to your girl. She'll like them too. But, man, when it comes with the weed whacker, that shit's for your nose or ears. I mean, you could, God, Manscaped has something for every hole and crevice of your body. So make sure to use code PGIR on manscaped.com for 20% off and free shipping. That's code PGIR on manscaped.com.
BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast, is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.